Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. And it is Friday, which in the preseason is travel day. The Vikings leave town today. They head to Dallas for their fourth of five preseason games against the Dallas Cowboys. It will be the Cowboys' third preseason game. It will be the Vikings' fourth because of the Hall of Fame game against the Pittsburgh Steelers that we played in Canton, Ohio. But I think both teams will treat this one as the quote-unquote third preseason game, the dress rehearsal preseason game, as all teams across the league are gearing up for the 2015 season. An interesting matchup here with Vikings and Cowboys. We're going to come short of calling it a playoff preview because it's just the preseason. We haven't even started the regular season yet. But when you look at it through that prism, playoff parity favors these two teams. And what do we mean by that? Well, it seems like each year there are three or four teams in a conference that made the playoffs last year that don't make it the following year. And then you have three or four teams that are replacing those teams, obviously. And if you pay attention to some of the league-wide hype, you hear the Vikings mentioned as one of those three or four new playoff teams that could surface in 2015. On the flip side, the Dallas Cowboys, they were a playoff team last season. But when you hear people speculate on playoff teams from last year who will not make the playoffs this year, you don't hear the Dallas Cowboys mentioned as one of those teams. You hear the Dallas Cowboys mentioned as a team still on the rise, as a team that has enough of the pieces in place to make the playoffs for consecutive seasons. So I think that this is an interesting matchup from that perspective. And then when you look at the other preseason games this week, I think Vikings-Cowboys is among the best matchups. You have Philadelphia and Green Bay. That's kind of a cool matchup even in the preseason. You have Pittsburgh and Buffalo. That could be a cool matchup, even though it's the preseason, because Buffalo is a team that a lot of people think is on the rise, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are perennial contenders. So you don't want to make too much out of preseason matchups, but you do also realize it's the third preseason game, and this is the quote-unquote dress rehearsal game. So you're going to see most teams play most of their starters through most of the first half, if not the entire first half. Another reason that this is an interesting game for the Vikings is the Cowboys were one of the NFC's best teams last season. This is a good barometer for a young Vikings team that thinks it may have a few things in place. Playing a good Cowboys team that has a roster that's loaded offensively and defensively, this will be a good matchup. At least that's what Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer thinks.
Do you buy into the philosophy that the third preseason game, in this case your fourth, is kind of like a dress rehearsal and you do it more like a regular season game than the other games?
No, I've never done it that way. We really don't game plan for it. We just, our guys have been through all that for 16 weeks now anyway. It's still about us and doing what we do and seeing if we can do it good against a team that we really haven't studied much or anything like that. So it'll be a good test. They're a very, very good offensive football team. They've improved a lot defensively. They've always done a good job in special teams, so it'll be a good test.
At the end of the day, the Cowboys are where the Vikings hope that they'll be at this time next year. What do I mean by that? I mean a defending division champion building a team that they think can make the playoffs for consecutive seasons. Fast forward 1 year from now, and you certainly, the Vikings hope that they can be in that type of position. Okay, let's focus on playing time for each team's starters. What will it be? I think it's an interesting question. The Cowboys last week played in San Francisco, but only played their starters for one series, and a lot of people think it was because of the condition of the turf at Levi's Stadium. It was not in good shape. You had players slipping and sliding all over. The Cowboys did not play their starters. The Vikings, on the other hand, played their starters for a fair amount of time last week, a home game against the Oakland Raiders. So it will be interesting to see how each team handles starters playing time in this preseason game. Obviously, we'll be in Dallas at AT&T Stadium on artificial turf with the roof closed, so playing conditions will be perfect. Another notable thing about that preseason game last week for the Cowboys in San Francisco, that's where we play in week one, so hopefully we can get the field conditions in much better shape for our regular season game against the 49ers. Another thing to mention, both the Vikings and Cowboys have lost a starter already in the preseason. The Cowboys lost a cornerback, Orlando Scandrick, in practice earlier in the week to a knee injury. He'll be out for the year. The Vikings, of course, lost Phil Lotholt to that Achilles injury in the preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think that's another element to consider when you wonder what the playing time will be for both teams in this preseason game. They're already maybe a little leery of losing starters because each team has already lost a starter. Mike Zimmer has said they're not going to be gun-shy about playing guys and about trying to get better in the preseason just because of some injuries. At the same time, you want to do everything you can to assure yourself that you'll have your starters going into week one of the regular season. All right, Nate, what else do we have for talkers for this game?
Well, if you remember last week, we talked a little bit about the Vikings linebacking group.
Yes.
And we talked, one of the linebackers that we talked about a lot was rookie Eric Kendricks and the amount of playing time he may or may not get. And we think he'll probably get a lot of playing time in this game too, but there's been some new news this week that Gerald Hodges is going to be starting in that middle linebacker slot this weekend against Dallas. What can Vikings fans expect to see from number 50?
I think you see from number 50, you see a guy who flies around the field and makes a lot of tackles, and he's in a lot of spots. So in your base defense, you want your middle linebacker. I guess there are a couple of different ways you could approach it. You could try and isolate your middle linebacker and have him play just between the tackles. But it's nice to have a middle linebacker with some athleticism. I mean, look at the Carolina Panthers with Luke Kuechly. He's a guy who can get sideline to sideline because of his athleticism. I think Gerald Hodges has that type of athleticism. I'm not going to put a Luke Kuechly comparison on him because Luke Kuechly is probably the best middle linebacker in the NFL, and Hodges has never started a regular season game at Mike linebacker. But you can see the athleticism in Gerald Hodges, and a guy who can get sideline to sideline and can make a lot of plays just athletically that most linebackers may not be able to make. So that's what I think you see from Hodges, is tremendous athleticism.
You said you don't want to directly compare him to Luke Kuechly. Are there any other linebackers that Mike Zimmer has had in the past that you might compare him to?
I wonder, and this would be a better question for Coach, but you have to wonder if Vontaze Burfict wouldn't be one. I mean, Vontaze Burfict is a guy who, because of some other concerns unrelated to his ability, fell in the draft. But if you looked at just how he was as a player, I think that he would have been drafted much earlier than he was. Subsequently, the Bengals end up getting him, and he plays for Mike Zimmer, and now he's one of those linebackers that you would say plays like his hair is on fire. He's all over the field. So maybe that's a comparison. And again, I haven't been around Vontaze Burfict, and I don't even know exactly how Zimmer used him in Cincinnati, but when I look at body type and size and athletic ability, I see a guy in Vontaze Burfict who can run anywhere and get to any play, and I think that's what Hodges can do. So, you know, I think there's still a lot to learn about Gerald Hodges, not just for us as, you know, as people watching and observing the team, but even for coaches. I think they're still looking to learn a lot about Gerald Hodges. But obviously they like what they've seen from him so far, because I don't think Mike Zimmer just plugs any guy that he feels like into the Mike linebacker spot in the third preseason game. I think there's some intentionality to that.
All right, and the final talking point we have is looking at the cornerback position.
Yes.
Specifically, rookie cornerbacks. We took our guy Trey Waynes early in the first round, and Dallas also took a first-round cornerback.
They did.
By the name of Byron Jones. And with the injury in their defensive backfield earlier this week, we might see quite a bit of Byron Jones this weekend.
I would think so. And Byron Jones was one of those late risers in the pre-draft process. He comes out of UConn, selected number 27 overall, and was very impressive at the combine. Had tremendous numbers in terms of the measurables, the 40-yard dash, the three-cone drills, the 20-yard shuttle, the vertical leap, the broad jump. He was lighting it up there. And eventually flew up draft boards in the couple of weeks before the draft. The Cowboys wind up taking him. And they lose Orlando Scandrick, but the cupboard is not bare in the secondary for the Cowboys, particularly at cornerback. They have Brandon Carr, who's a reliable veteran that you can play. They have Morris Claiborne, who's been up and down in a young career. He was drafted in 2012, the same year we got Matt Khalil. The Cowboys wound up taking Morris Claiborne. And they lose Orlando Scandrick, which is a bummer, but now they have Byron Jones that they can plug in as well. So they have some pieces that they can still work with in the secondary, and I do think you'll see both of these rookie corners play a lot. Byron Jones for the Cowboys and Trey Waynes for the Vikings, and both will be tested because the Cowboys, as we know, have a great passing game with Tony Romo and his bunch of receivers, including Dez Bryant. Although I don't know how much Trey Waynes will be matched up with Dez Bryant, there are still some other good receivers. Cole Beasley in the slot, for example. Terrence Williams, who can stretch the field vertically and has good size. Of course, you have Jason Witten. So there are some good pass catchers for the Cowboys, and the Vikings secondary will be tested, and that includes Trey Waynes because I think he'll play a bunch. On the flip side, Byron Jones goes against a Vikings receiving core that's gotten much better and is pretty deep. When you consider that Cordarrelle Patterson and Stephon Diggs are toward the bottom of the depth chart, I mean, those are two pretty good players, and if they're at the bottom of the depth chart, you know you have some talent. Charles Johnson, Mike Wallace, Jarius Wright has really come on strongly. Adam Thielen has had a good training camp, so Byron Jones will be tested as well, and it'll be fun to watch these two first-round corners go at some of these wide receivers. I would imagine you're going to see a lot of what you've already seen, particularly from Trey Waynes. You're going to see some mistakes, some plays that he wants to have back. It happens to a guy his first time through in an NFL defense, especially a Mike Zimmer defense. You're going to see mistakes, but preseason is a good time to make them and to learn from them. And, you know, the Vikings secondary is going to go up against one of the best passing games that we have in the NFL, and it'll be a good barometer for them, and they'll be able to take the tape when it's over and learn from it and keep getting ready for the 2015 season.
All right, Wobby, now let's take a look at three threats that the Cowboys can pose to the Vikings this weekend. What's number one?
Number one, I'm going to go with offensive line. We talked about the Cowboys passing game being a good barometer for the Vikings secondary and for the pass defense. I'll say, in similar fashion, the Cowboys offensive line is a good barometer for the Vikings defensive line, because you and I have talked all training camp and preseason together privately or even here on the Wobcast about how great the defensive line has looked for the Vikings. It's been dominant, and it has been, but this offensive line is no joke for the Dallas Cowboys. They return all five starters from last year's team. They added Lyle Collins out of LSU as an undrafted free agent, who was one of the better prospects along the offensive line in this draft class, but an off-the-field incident right up before the draft caused him to slide. Cowboys get a great talent, so they got some depth. Why is it key that all five starters return? Because all five starters are good. Left tackle Tyron Smith, two-time Pro Bowler, can be a dominant player. Right tackle Doug Free is a veteran who's been in the league for a long time, can play tackle or guard, is very solid as a right tackle. But they have two other young players. Center Travis Frederick out of Wisconsin was a first-round pick. Right tackle Zach Martin out of Notre Dame was a first-round pick. So you have three first-round picks on this roster. You have a guy who should have been a first-round pick in Lyle Collins. And then you have right tackle Doug Free and left guard Ronald Leary. All returning starters with the exception of Collins. All good players. And this team mashed defenses last year. With the leading rusher was DeMarco Murray in the NFL, running behind this offensive line. And then the Cowboys as a team ranked number two in rushing yards, total rushing yards, number three in yards per carry. So tremendous offensive line, super talented quarterback who is protected well by this offensive line. And I think that they are maybe the strength of the team after Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. I think this offensive line is the strength of the team.
So a big test for our defensive line. Number two, you looked at a member of their defensive line.
Yes.
Tell me about him.
Randy Gregory, a rookie. Great reviews out of training camp so far for Randy Gregory. Another guy who slid in the draft because of some off-the-field issues, has come into camp, has kept his head down, has been quiet, and has played well. So he's a guy who can stress an offense off the edge because of his speed. I don't know where they're going to line him up against us, if it's going to be opposite the left tackle or the right tackle, and if they're going to run him out with the first team. If they do run him out with the first team, that's great for us because we need Matt Khalil to be really good this season, so Randy Gregory is a good test for him. And TJ Clemmings is a rookie at right tackle, and we need to test him and get him ready because he's never played at this level. And so if Randy Gregory lines up opposite of him, that's good work for TJ Clemmings. So Randy Gregory is threat number two.
And then threat number three, you think of the Cowboys, right, and you think of this player.
Who do you think of? Dez Bryant, right? So, again, we don't know how long these starters are going to play because Dallas has not been playing their starters much this preseason. You cannot blame them for that. I'm getting more and more to the point where if I was running a team, I wouldn't play my starters in the preseason either. So if the Cowboys don't run Dez Bryant much in this game, you can't really blame them. But I hope they do because I'd love to see Xavier Rhodes. I'd love to see Trey Waynes. I'd love to see Jabari Price get some run against a great receiver like this. And not so much like yeah, I hope they shut him down. Of course, I hope they shut him down. That'd be great news. But it would also be good news if they get beat by Dez Bryant a couple of times, because it gives them something to work on. And you get a guy like Trey Waynes, who's a superstar at Michigan State, and he comes to the NFL as a first-round pick. You know, and he might think that he's got it made. So it's good for him to face some adversity and to learn that he's got work to do and to be able to have something to go back to the film room, go back to the practice field, and have Mike Zimmer and Jerry Gray and George Edwards be able to use these in-game examples as teaching points for a young player.
All right, we'll move on to over-unders. Last week, not a super impressive start for you.
Right.
You were 1-for-4.
I can't say nowhere to go but up, because I could go 0 for however many you have, but there's no reason I can't improve. It's like what I do at home. You know, I set the expectations really low with my wife so I can surpass the expectations the next time around. That's what I've done with the over-unders.
All right. Well, on that note, let's look at some over-unders. Tackles for Gerald Hodges. Last week, we set the over-under for tackles for Eric Kendricks at 5.5. Let's do the same right here. We'll put the over-under for tackles for Gerald Hodges, your starting middle linebacker this week, at 5.5.
I'm going to go over. Starting Mike linebacker has that sideline-to-sideline range, as I talked about earlier, and I think that the coaches want to get a really good look at him as a Mike linebacker. Hurting my cause here is he will not be with the first team linebackers in nickel packages. That's going to be Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr. So that hurts my cause here, but I think we'll be in base defense enough where Hodges can collect some tackles. I love the way Linval Joseph and Sharif Floyd and Tom Johnson are playing. When those guys are in there, I think they can take up blockers, let Hodges run free, and I think he can get 6 or more tackles. So give me the over.
The over on 5.5 tackles for Gerald Hodges.
Yes.
Okay, the second one, interceptions for the Vikings defense.
Okay.
We've seen him get a few interceptions already this preseason. I'll put the over under at 0.5 interceptions for the Vikings defense.
I think that's a good number. I'm going to go over on this. It would be cool to see it come with the first team. Because I love Tony Romo, but I'd love to see him throw a pick against us, because that'd be good news for us. So I just don't know how much we're going to see Tony Romo, though. And I think the chances for an interception increase as soon as Tony Romo leaves the game. And if Tony Romo doesn't play very much, that means that we're going to see a bunch of other second, third, and fourth string quarterbacks. And I think that they'll throw our defenders some passes. Brian Peters has 2 picks. Anton Exum Jr. has a pick. Wouldn't surprise me to see either one of those guys strike again, because they'll probably be out there on the field. Josh Thomas had an interception last week. He'll be out on the field a bunch. So I think we're going to have plenty of opportunity. I think Dallas will air the ball out, and I think our guys will be in the right spot at the right time. So give me the over.
All right, the over it is. And finally, we have passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. We talked about this being kind of a dress rehearsal for the regular season, so you'll probably see Teddy more in this game than you have in the previous preseason games, and then you will in the final preseason game.
Okay.
So considering he'll play at least probably the first half, let's put the over-under at 145.5 passing yards. What say you, Wobby?
Ooh, this is a tough one. And it's not because I don't believe he can get to that number. It's just a matter of what's the opportunity going to be. I mean, you know what, though? Our pass protection has been really good, and I thought we picked apart the Raiders' secondary pretty well. I don't know where the Raiders' secondary compares relative to the Cowboys' secondary. I think the Cowboys' front is just as good as the Raiders' front, if not better. But our pass protection has been really good. I'm going to take the over. You know, we haven't seen much out of Mike Wallace yet, and I know that Norv is probably keeping some things close to the vest. You don't want to give away all your regular season secrets and preseason games. But how about a Mike Wallace 50-yard or 60-yard reception? That could be in the cards this week, because we haven't seen it yet. You put one of those on there, and then a standard preseason performance from Teddy will get you over 145. So I'm going to take the over on this one as well. There you have it. That's an easy one for you to keep track of, Nate. I'm over, over, and over. And I was 1-for-4 last week, so the best I can do is increase my season total to 500. But hopefully we can do that, because if I'm over on all of those, it's good news for the Vikings, because they're all Viking stats. So it would be fun to review the over-under next week and have me go 3-for-3. That would mean good things for the Vikings. It might mean that they go 4-0 in this preseason, 8-0 all time under Mike Zimmer. in the preseason, and that would be pretty cool. Vikings and Cowboys, folks, this Saturday night, kickoff at 7 p.m. Central. You can catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network and on Fox 9 here locally. Don't miss it. Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff, Vikings and Cowboys in the preseason. After that, the Vikings will return home for a quick week of practice, and then they will head to Nashville, Tennessee to take on the Titans in the preseason finale, and that will let the preseason give way to the regular season. Lots of stuff happening between now and the start of the regular season. Those two preseason games, a bunch of practices, a couple of roster cutdown dates. You can keep track of all of it on Vikings.com, where the Vikings Entertainment Network, including Nate Vaughn and yours truly, will be producing content to keep you up to date. Check it out, Vikings.com, and also download the Vikings app if you have not done so, and you can have our great content delivered straight to your mobile device. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We'll talk to you next time.